This is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Today we have a very special guest, someone who has just returned from almost a month-long trip to three continents. His name is Darris McNeely. He is associate producer of Beyond Today. He's also a longtime pastor who has served the church in many different fashions, not only as pastor, but also as teacher, and has worked with us. Welcome, Darris.
Good to be with you, Vic. Good to be back.
Yeah, it was good to be back. Darris went not only himself, he went with his wife, Debbie, on this extremely interesting trip. And he started in Los Angeles, where we held a ministerial conference. It was the last of our regional conferences. Then from there, he flew from London and visited in the United Kingdom, and then to three countries in Africa. It was really a superhuman trip, but they came back in good health, and we are just very happy to have you back and have you talk to us about this.
It was a great trip. We had a four-week trip from beginning to end, Vic. That really was, in many ways, a trip of a lifetime for us to be able to visit so many people, so many places where the work of the church is being done. So it was overall a very positive trip.
Well, I know that Darris will be modest about what he did, but I couldn't do it. He spent hours and hours from 8:30 in the morning to 5 o'clock teaching all day long. Maybe we can start with the United Kingdom. What did you do there? Who did you see?
Well, Debbie and I flew into Heathrow Airport, and Barry and Madhu Lavers, a ministerial couple there in the United Kingdom, picked us up. We made a quick trip by the property that housed the former campus of Ambassador College at Brickett Wood. My wife wanted to see that. It was a cold, sunny day in England. But they deposited us then in Watford at a Holiday Inn Express. And that was our base for the next 4-plus days, and we didn't get out of there too often, other than to take a train into London to speak to our congregation there in London. But we were there to consult, I think, with the United Kingdom ministry. All but one of the elders came down to be with us for the Sabbath and for the weekend to talk about issues pertaining to their work that they have there. They are a dedicated group of men and women in the ministry and the membership in the United Kingdom throughout Ireland and England and up on the Isle of Man. They have actually seen some growth in recent years. Their numbers are up to about 200 members on a regular basis there. They have a small office out of which they fulfill all the literature requests and work with the subscribers. Their office is in a little place, Chalfont St. Giles. It was a quintessential English village in this old Tudor-style building where they have their office, low ceilings. Looks like it goes back to Henry VIII days. In the meetings that we had with the elders, we were talking about their efforts to utilize the media of the church to preach the gospel and challenges of reaching a very secular audience in the United Kingdom today with Beyond Today and the message that we have in the church. But they soldier on, and we took their input and also consulted with them regarding some of their manpower, ways by which they can anticipate the future, training additional people for the ministry and for the work in the church there. Actually, Debbie and I came away, Vic, very, very encouraged about the prospects for the future of the church in the United Kingdom. There are, again, a dedicated group of elders and wives right now, but also several other individuals that can be put into the pipeline to be trained for the ministry and for service to the church. And so we came away very, very positive about the future of the church there.
Well, I know that when you talked about going there and the people you were to visit, the leadership, and knowing how few they had as newer people, I was so encouraged when you came back and mentioned about a few other younger people that are being sort of streamlined into the pipeline, because you know that when those who are older cannot continue,
like you and I,
yeah, like us, there's going to be having to be an accelerated movement to get people.
Yeah, one of our high points was actually going to the services in London and visit with the London congregation. They meet in a very convenient location right across from Euston Station, there in the city of London. There's a good solid core of members that are there, and we found them very friendly and also very excited just to see a visitor from the office to come over and spend a Sabbath with them.
Well, I'm glad that you got a chance to not only see Brickett Wood, where this was the site of Ambassador Ambassador College.
You went to college.
I went there for a year and a half. And you're just even talking about it is bringing back a lot of good feelings from it. Now, Ambassador College, I know that some of our listeners are people who have gone there or know of others who have gone there. I know that it was in its prime when I was there back from 68 to 69 when I graduated there. I was there a year and a half, actually.
Yeah.
And I know that it's in disarray or in crumbling as it's being sold off. And
well, actually, the day we were there, Vic, they were actually workmen were putting up fencing around the old gymnasium building there. And that gymnasium was coming down the following week. I'm sure it's all gone and hauled away. They were beginning to tear down the buildings, and they're going to build new housing in there. The original Hanstead house that was purchased to begin that project, that's a historic building. It will stay. It will be preserved in some way, but it's just an interesting lesson in how life moves on, and life sometimes is a cycle.
I was back for John Ross Schroeder's funeral 4 years ago. And with an old friend from college, we went and walked around those places, including that cemetery, you know, there behind there. And I wanted to step on the steps of Memorial Hall because that's where I graduated from college there. But I remember that I wanted to see other places too, but they had security cameras and they had fencing up there. And I almost started to crawl over the fence, and my friend David said, I don't think that would make a good story, President caught trespassing at Ambassador College campus. But it really was a majestic place.
It was. Last year, I visited all three of the former campuses, sites of the Ambassador College. You think that back through, and you realize what we're doing today in continuing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Properties come and go. People come and go. The truth endures forever.
Well, Darris, you could have said it better, because as we see where we were at one time with all the so-called wealth, you know, that we had, that we look to as a sign that God was blessing us, and to see it change quite a bit and people even around us discounting the value of our work, it just makes me realize how precious the things that really matter are. Well, let's get back on a plane here now.
Okay.
Fly from London to Johannesburg, right?
We flew from Heathrow, Terminal 3, to Johannesburg Tambo Airport. And then there we caught another flight up to Lusaka, Zambia. And then from there, another flight up to a place called Indola in the northwest area of Zambia near the what is called the Copper Belt. You've been there several times, and you know it well. And there we were picked up by Derek and Cherry Pringle, our pastor and his wife, who take care of, I think, three congregations in that part of Zambia. And there had been gathered about 35 men and women to come for 3 days, solid days of training and education that I was putting on for them in a facility there. And that was where I didn't sit under the mango tree and eat mangoes, as Mr. Pringle told me. It was pretty solid 3 days of work, and then the Sabbath, taking people through basic doctrines, the nature of God, the repentance, baptism, the purpose of human life, and again, just putting out the truths that we understand in an area where people are really hungry for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I might just add here that one reason why Darris went to this Copper Belt area is that that's one area he couldn't go to the last time that he was in Africa. And I feel it's a key area of the future of Africa, because it's where the economic development is and so forth. It doesn't look like it, but it really, the copper mines really do produce a lot, and there are people there. It's right on the border of the DRC, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. It's a strategic area, and the fact that Derek Pringle and Cherry, his wife, have really cared for that area and developed future leadership, to me, was so important for you to go there. And it's just a whole string of cities. It's, you know, well, Indola is where you flew into, but Kitwe is where Derek lives. Then the church that was built in Mufulira, there's one in Solwezi, there's one in Mufumbwe, and another one that was just built in Maninga, right there near the Angolan border. And Derek has gone over that area. It's several hundred miles. But without him and his SUV, you know, there would be nothing there. In fact, some of the people that we came into contact were from Mufumbwe that had waited 25 years to be baptized, Christopher, Joseph, and those people.
Yes.
Just fantastic.
They were all there sitting in the classes, and I got to meet them.
And those are people that sat there for 25 years under the mango tree. In fact, that's not a figurative thing. That's where services were held. When you sat under the mango tree, that means you were listening carefully and singing and praising God. But that area has really come to life as people who waited 25 years for a minister to come to see them stayed faithful. They held meetings by themselves, even if it meant just reading articles out loud, but they stayed faithful. I was privileged to baptize those three men in 2011 in the spring. And then now to see you're coming up there, them having church buildings, has been so inspiring and so wonderful.
It has come a long way. They have they're in Mufulira. They have a new building, new facility has been developed. It's used for the Feast of Tabernacles. And you were there last year to dedicate that building. But to see that progress, the people who are there to hear their stories, one gentleman bicycles miles and miles every week to speak or to give a message. They have very little, but they count as a great treasure the truth of God and the Bible. One of the things I've always found, and going to that part of Africa, people know their Bible. They have a lot of questions about the Bible, and not all of them reflect a correct understanding, but they're very teachable, and they're interested in the truth of God. Again, if there's a place in the world today, and I know there are many, but this is one of them, that where you truly say to people, look, silver and gold, I don't have a lot of, but what I do have, I do give you, and we preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and that is their hope. Mm-hmm. They don't have anywhere near the kingdom in their own life today, even to the degree that we might have with the affluence in our cultures, but they count as the pearl of great price, the truth of God and the knowledge and the hope of the coming kingdom of God, and there's no price tag you can put on that. And it is energizing to be able to walk among and teach those people.
Well, I know that one thing for me when I see those people and be with them, they're just like you and I as far as their needs. They want to be appreciated. They want to be loved. They love their children as much as we love our children.
They do.
They hurt when things don't go right. They may make 50 times less than we do.
Yes.
If they make anything at all. And God values these people just as much as he does, you know, anybody in a first world country, so to speak.
Sometimes people ask me, why do you go to Africa? I'm sure you've had that question too. And why are we involved with all these projects there? And my answer is, we don't expect that we're going to turn Africa around, and we're not going to solve all of Africa's problems. Money is helpful and useful, but money is by itself is not going to do it. The churches, non-government organizations, and other forms of aid have poured billions of dollars into Africa, and it hasn't changed. Some parts of things, they're still corrupt. That money has been siphoned off by leaders and winds up in Swiss bank accounts and other places. And you still see people walking the roads, pounding the dirt, eking out a living, subsistence farming, and yet looking for something. Mm-hmm. And their needs are worthy of being met. We learn as much, I think, and we gain as much as we might give when we go to Africa. So the answer is why we go. Well, I think sometimes God wants us to learn a few things so that when we come back, we're wiser for it, but we pray also even more fervently, thy kingdom come.
That's great. We certainly do gain a perspective and the need for Jesus Christ's return and his kingdom as well, so that a change can come to corruption, not only in Africa, but in the rest of the world. Let's talk again next week and hear about the rest of the trip and discuss about the time you had Malawi and the developments going on in that country. Thank you for joining us Inside United. Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.